Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
The Knoxville Hospital and Clinics has a new OBGYN specialist on staff. What are his interests and where does his expertise lie? Let's go in depth with Dr. Stephen Feltz with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. Dr. Feltz, how did you become interested in female pelvic medicine?
When I completed my residency in Indiana, there was a particular focus towards urogynecology and female pelvic medicine and that type of reconstructive surgery. So when I came to Des Moines, there was a void in treating that patient population. There was no one at the time doing the testing and assessment for people with pelvic floor disorders such as urinary incontinence and pelvic prolapse. So I just really was very interested in that field and developed a urodynamic clinic and was trained in many of the different surgical procedures and continued to educate myself over the years in that regard.
Urodynamic, I haven't heard that before. Can you tell us about that? What does that mean?
It's just a more formal testing to evaluate patients who come in with urinary leakage. I may have 10 patients who come in with the same complaint. That is, I leak because of different activities, or I leak because of different types of conditions. Maybe it be cold, or maybe it be nighttime. And if I have 10 of those patients, I may have three or four different reasons for their leakage. Some of them may be amenable to surgical therapy. Others might be amenable to pharmacological or drug therapy. And others might just require behavioral therapy. And so in order to sort that out, we do testing in the clinic to evaluate just what is the root cause of their leakage.
And a lot of this, but not all, relates to childbirth?
Well, definitely patients that have had childbirth, that represents a significant trauma to their pelvis. But I see a number of patients who have never had children. Maybe they have manufacturing jobs or jobs that are fairly strenuous. And over the years, that has taken its toll. And so everyone has a little different story as to what brought them to that end.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Dr. Stephen Feltz. Now, there's a lot of conditions that we have that we're comfortable talking about, and this is one that we often aren't so comfortable talking about, right?
Right. That's exactly right. When you look at the general population, over 25% of women will suffer or have suffered from one type of pelvic floor disorder or another. That be that urinary incontinence, or even less talked about would be fecal incontinence, or just simply pelvic organ prolapse. And many patients come to me with the idea that was passed on from their mother that, you know, there's nothing we can do about this, and so I've just learned to deal with it. And that certainly represents a very vigorous population, but unfortunately, a lot of those patients stop doing activities that would promote better health for them. So that's the unfortunate part about it.
And does it translate into maybe not coming in and seeing a healthcare provider about it? Does that happen?
Yeah, absolutely. People just kind of put this on the shelf. And many times patients just stop doing the activities that give them problems, whether that be exercise or maybe even just going out to the mall. They stop doing those things. So many times it's a family member who identifies this, or an astute physician, maybe a family physician or primary care provider, who identifies that patient or that mother or that sister and lets them know that there are things that can be done.
Well, it sounds like there's a wide variety of things that can be done, from procedures, and you said behavioral, to, I mean, just sounds like every case is unique and potentially has a different solution.
That's absolutely true. And so sometimes somebody maybe young who's just had a child who has urinary leakage, for instance, they may benefit just from physical therapy. The same way, if you injured your shoulder falling off a bicycle, you would go to physical therapy and see how that works. And many times it's just a matter of re-engaging that pelvic floor, all the way to the patient who may need a definitive surgical procedure.
And is surgery common?
Surgery can be common. Fortunately, since I've started practicing in this field, the surgeries have really evolved. So when I first started doing this, somebody, for instance, that had urinary leakage, which can be considered a fairly simple problem, would require an abdominal incision, 3 days in the hospital, and six weeks off work. Now the surgical procedure for that same issue would require an outpatient procedure that takes 20 minutes. They're back to work in a week, and although they have to limit some of their physical activity, they're pretty much back feeling good in 1 to 2 weeks. And that's all done through an incision that's 2 centimeters in the vagina.
Well, that's revolutionary, it would seem. You know, a lot of people can't afford 6 weeks off of work, but maybe 1 or 2 is can be done.
Right, yes. With the newer sling procedures, they're very quick turnaround as far as getting back to work. Even some of the more advanced or more significant pelvic reconstructive surgery, we now use a Da Vinci robot to accomplish that. And that is done through 5 incisions that total about 2 inches on the abdomen. And again, the recovery time has been cut in half. And the hospital time generally has been cut in half as well.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Dr. Stephen Feltz. Now, you mentioned some symptoms, incontinence. That's pretty easy to tell. Are there other symptoms that might not be so obvious?
Well, other patients will come in with simply have pelvic floor prolapse. So those patients may come in with symptoms of just feeling pressure in the pelvis, or they'll feel a bulge. Those are the two common complaints that they'll have. And that will usually worsen throughout the day, such to the point where they're very uncomfortable. And that really is simply a hernia of sorts through an area of their body that's the least amount of resistance towards herniation when they have increased abdominal pressure.
Mm-hmm. Any other symptoms?
Well, some patients will have stool leakage as well that can occur because of or a result of childbirth or other kind of trauma. Other patients that I'll see will have painful bladder syndrome or painful bladder or just pain in the pelvis. And that can be suggestive of many different pelvic disorders. I also see a number of patients that have frequent urinary tract infections, which again can be a symptom of a worsening of a problem such as pelvic prolapse, inability to empty their bladder because of that pelvic support problem, or other issues.
Now, I understand you're board certified. What does that mean?
Well, this particular specialty just became board eligible a year ago. So when I first started practicing 20 years ago, as I mentioned, there was a fairly big void. There were people in gynecology who would do part of the procedures. There were people in urology, which is a different specialty, who would also do some of these procedures. But those procedures would be somewhat fragmented. That is, the urologist might be trained to do the sling for the incontinence, but not really address the prolapse from the uterus. So over the years, we've noticed that people would, or surgeons, would have differing levels of expertise. So this field evolved from a conglomeration of those two fields over the last 20 years. And just recently, last year, was the first time they actually board certified people to practice this particular subspecialty. In the field of gynecology, there's the subspecialty of oncology, fetal medicine, which takes care of high-risk pregnancies, and then infertility. And this was the fourth subspecialty that came into presence.
And so I'm guessing all the best doctors got together and decided what one needed to know to best help patients with this.
That's exactly right. And the biggest problem, as I mentioned, was the fragmentation that happened with patients. They would get part of the problem fixed by one surgeon and maybe not all of them. So the reoperation rate for pelvic prolapse, for instance, in this particular field was something like 20%. So when all these physicians came together, they decided, what do we need for a physician to be proficient in to practice urogynecology, or as the field is called, female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery. So the best doctors from urology and gynecology got together and found out how to best certify physicians for this. There have been fellowships in place for the last several years, and then those particular physicians like myself who have been practicing this subspecialty over the years were allowed to submit a case list and then sit for an exam to document your proficiency in this area.
Now, I'm just guessing that this involves women that are older, 40, 45 and beyond mainly, but...
Interestingly, I see a patient population. Just yesterday, I saw a 32-year-old patient who will need pelvic reconstructive surgery from simply having two children and probably just bad genetics. On the other hand, just 2 weeks ago, I operated on a patient who was 85 years old and very vigorous. So the age range is quite significant, and really, age doesn't have too much to do with it. And the nice thing is that if I have a patient who maybe is particularly old or frail, I can do things that are non-surgical that still can give them an increased quality of life.
Well, that's good to hear. Non-surgical, I guess I'm not used to thinking about that aspect of it. Is that new or has that been common? I'm guessing that some people, if they knew there were some non-surgical alternatives, that would be, I don't know, incentive to get in and talk to somebody.
Absolutely. So some of my older patients, for instance, we can place appliances called pessaries that can help to support that pelvic structure for people that have incontinence or prolapse. Or I could do surgical procedures that are relatively quick and easy, certainly have different functional purposes, but some of those procedures can take 20 to 30 minutes to render them much more active in their later years.
What do women tell you after they've worked with you and there's a successful outcome? What's that like?
Oh, it's certainly very rewarding. You know, as my training in obstetrics and gynecology, I have the pleasure and the privilege of taking care of patients who have babies. And that certainly can be very rewarding. To take care of those patients because we have such a good outcome most of the time. And similarly, when I take care of people with these problems, I think the risk benefit, that is, obviously all surgeries has potential for morbidity, but the upside that we see on the other end is significant. I got a card from a woman the other day who said that she passed the sister test, which means that she got together with all her sisters, which they do once a year, and they laugh and carry on. And she said she didn't leak for the first time. She didn't have to run to the bathroom. So those are really rewarding patients to hear back from.
And I bet you hear it all the time.
Absolutely. I really do. I think, again, along with the obstetrics, this part of the medicine that I practice is very rewarding.
Anything else our listeners should know that I didn't think to ask?
No, I think you're very complete. I think the important thing for patients to know is to see the right physician. I think certainly there are many people proficient in this, but in town there's really just two of us who are board certified in this subspecialty. And I think that's important so that you get off on the right foot and hopefully have the appropriate care from the beginning.
Thanks to Dr. Stephen Feltz for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.